This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled Grace Part 2 was delivered on April 7th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Home. Man, if they keep singing like that at home and in the car and you drive past their house, he's like, what is that music? Whew. We have some talent in this. In this fellowship, amen. Whew, good morning, New Hope. Nice to see everybody here finally showed up. You know, at 9:05, I was thinking, like, what happened? Is there something happening today? It's like, but at least you guys showed up, right? Beautiful weather. I mean, you can feel the summer heat, yeah? Because the cold one lasted longer than expected. I mean, throughout the whole month of March, we had some pretty cold days, and now it's April, and you can feel the heat, and it's like getting light. The sun is coming up earlier, so that means we got to get up earlier to watch the sunrise. But it's always just a beautiful time of year. And when I wake up in the morning, and it's like, wow, Lord, thank you. You chose to give me another day, and I am so grateful for that. Well, we're going to continue with grace. Grace. Last week, grace, we learned that is God's unmerited or undeserved favor. Well, grace, is it a girl's name? Could be. How many of you name Grace? I think we might have a couple out there. How many of you say grace before you eat? Well, there are those who you never raise your hand. You better start. Say thank you for this food. And grace can be both a girl's name and a prayer that we say before we eat. And as we're going through the series of grace this morning, we'll try and unpack more of what grace means and what it means for us so that you and I can better understand it. And the word grace would mean so much more to us than just like, okay, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, amen, right? Or would mean more to us than a person's name or prayer, more than unmerited favor. So today we're going to look at grace is the basis for, number one, our Christian identity. 1 Corinthians, you have your Bibles? How many of you have your Bibles? 1 Corinthians 15:10. I think I left mine in my car. I was so busy getting this morning, getting everything ready. Please forgive me. Boy, that's bad, yeah? Practice what you preach. Bring your Bible. And I think mine is like 50 feet away in the car. Oh, shoot. Somebody going to take me out back afterwards and stone me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. How many of you can kind of like, man, by the grace of God, I am what I am today. I can totally identify with that because by the grace of God, I survived all the stupid stuff I did. How many of you did stupid stuff before? Yeah, and if you never raise your hand, you're either really good or you're lying. And you just did something stupid. So, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me did not prove vain. So all that time that God gave his grace to me, it did not prove vain. But I labor even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So this was Paul, right? And he was like a zealous Pharisee. He was like he was like the enemy of the Christian church. If you read the story in Acts, he was the bad guy. I mean, the bad of the bad. He would get letters from leaders so that he could arrest Christians and persecute them. So when in writing this, he felt unworthy to be called an apostle of Christ. That's why he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because this guy was the one. If he was here today, he would come in here and try and arrest all of us because we're Christians, and take us away. And that's how bad he was. And that's why he can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's why I can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he was undoubtedly the most influential of all the apostles. He wrote more than half the New Testament. But Paul was a humble guy. He knew that he worked hard to accomplish a lot of things. But he realized that only because God had poured kindness and grace upon him and his life. That's why he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. How many of you feel like, by the grace of God, I am here. I am what he created me to be. I am what I am. I mean, that, I think, like, wow. If I dwell on that thought and I think about it, by the grace of God, I am. I am a husband. I am a dad. I am a servant. I am a friend by the grace of God. Now, when Paul talks about being humble, his humility is not convincing himself that he is worthless, but he is recognizing God, God's work in himself. And it's having God's perspective on who you are and acknowledging that his grace is developing our abilities and his grace is growing in us. It is truly by God's grace that I can get up here Sundays and present a message for you. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, you might show up here on Sunday and I might not be here. Right? I might be too chicken to come up here without God's grace. Truly, I mean, sometimes from Saturday night to Sunday morning, it's such anxiety because in the middle of the night, I wake up and it's like, right, when I realize it's like Sunday morning, first it's in a real panic, like, oh, I gotta speak. Then comes prayer, a lot of prayer, and this is while I'm in bed in the middle of the night. And then I wake up, it's like, whew, yes, I made it through the night. And Monday morning, oh, it's so beautiful. It is. And it's by God's grace that I can stand here. Grace is the basis for our standing before God. Romans 5:2. Though whom also we have ordained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand, we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Again, Paul is such an amazing guy. We hear from, he states that as believers, you and I, we have now entered into a place of undeserved privilege. Not only did God declare us not guilty, but he has drawn us close to himself. Instead of you and I being enemies, we have become God's friend. In fact, the Bible calls us his children. You remember, we're reading in the Old Testament, and back in the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle, and they had that curtain, and then the Holy of Holies and all that, and the priest would go in once a year to make atonement for the sins. And they would put bells on him, and they would listen. The bells was for the people outside to listen, to see if the priest was still alive. Because if he made one mistake, gone, just like that. And they could only do that once a year. And the Jewish tradition holds that the bells were tied to the priest's tassels. So if they stopped ringing, they might have been like, uh-oh. He must have done something wrong, and God had taken him away, taken his life. So the bells were was on the priest for those who was outside of the tabernacle of God so that they could hear if the bells were still ringing or not. Then they would realize whether or not he was alive. Now, for you and I, it's not like that anymore. Because of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, we don't need a priest to talk to God for us, but we can go and talk to God in prayer in the name of Jesus. We can stand before God because of his grace. Amen? Okay, grace is the basis for our behavior, is the basis for our, but grace should be, because not all the time, right? Grace should be the basis for our behavior, but not like, hey, I tell you what, if you used to be with me when I drive, you say, oh, this guy has no grace, man. He is just mean. But grace should be the basis of our behavior. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshy wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you. So Paul, he knew the importance of grace, honesty, sincerity in word and in action, especially in this place like Corinth. Corinth was like what we would picture Las Vegas back then. It was a really corrupt place. So Paul, when he went to the Corinthians, he didn't go there with impressive human wisdom. You ever been to some place where they use extremely large words and you say, like, what is he saying? You know, I've been to places where they preach and they use like big, big words, and I just watched the word ceiling right over my head. Wow, what was that? That sounded very intelligent, but I had no clue what that means. You ever been there? I thank God I don't have any big words like that. I think the biggest word I know is dilapidated. Yeah? And yeah, that's probably the biggest word I know. For you locals, that means boss up. You know, like the car was dilapidated. The car was boss up. And I think that's the biggest word I know. But thank God I don't know big words, because if I did, then half of you might not be here. Right? But yeah, I've been to those places and they preach with these big words and they're thinking like, what? They better off speaking in tongues, because I still don't know what they're saying. So Paul did not go to the Corinthians with impressive words, but he went with grace. And that same grace that was extended to him by God, he extended to others. I mean, okay, so honestly, ask yourself this question. Does my behavior reflect God's grace? Honestly, when I'm driving, no. God still got to work on me on that area. But what about when you out and about in public, when you're dealing with slow cashiers or bank tellers who take forever to count your deposit and they make mistake, they got to count them again, and when you're waiting in line at the DMV, or when you're waiting in line at the post office. You ever went to the Cal post office? Why, every time I go there, I hear the roosters crowing. And I think you're like, wait, and did I deny Christ? And then the rooster crows. It's like, but it's like only in a big island you can hear that. But do you show God's grace? You know, when there's that sign, cashier in training, do you automatically head to that line? I do. I'd like to go in that training line because I like to say, hey, great job. And they look at me like, you're kidding me. That's right. That's like the few times that I reflect God's grace. Almost all the parts of my life, except when I'm in behind the wheel. Pray for me. Grace is the basis for our living. Romans 5:17, for if by the transgression of one, talking about Adam, remember Adam in the beginning in Genesis, death reigned through the one, but much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we were all born into Adam's family, his physical family, the family that leads to certain death, because we have reaped the results of Adam's sin. The wages of sin is death. We have all inherited this guilt and this sinful nature and God's punishment. But because of Jesus. However, we can trade that judgment for forgiveness. Jesus Christ offers us the opportunity to be born into his spiritual family, the family that begins with forgiveness and leads to eternal life. And now, those of you who ever said yes to Jesus, that's what it is. You traded in judgment for forgiveness. You traded in death for eternal life. Okay? And so, if we do nothing about accepting Jesus Christ, then automatically we receive the death through Adam. But if we come to God by faith, we receive the life through Christ, we get eternal life. Which family do you belong to? Do you live in a thankful manner? Are you, when you get up every morning, is it like, yes, Lord, thank you. Good morning, Lord. Or is it like, oh, I don't want to get up. I want to sleep some more. Hey, when you die, you have plenty of time to rest. Sleep is overrated. How many of you think sleep is overrated? Only like a couple. The rest of you. Hey, but you guys made it here. You know? I used to love to sleep. I used to love to sleep until noon. Sundays, I would sleep until 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I had a hangover, and I was hurting. But sleep is really, truly overrated. I tell you, there's nothing like getting up at 4:30 in the morning to start your day. You know, on Thursdays, I get up. I leave the house like 4:40. I get to Blaine's at 5. I get to my office by 7, and I was just going and going and doing. And by the time 9 o'clock came around this past Thursday, I'd finished written a funeral message. I started like two or three different messages because I had two different tunings to hear from God. And by 10 o'clock, I was like, I did so much. And I think like, wow, it's only 10 o'clock. Cool, I can eat lunch now. And I think when I get up early, and I start going, oh, I feel so good, so productive. Versus there are days when my wife tells me, you better rest today. So I do rest. I get up at 6, and then I rest. And by 4 o'clock, I feel lame, man. I feel like, oh. And, you know, our living, the way we live, does it show God's grace? Are you grateful for everything that you got? And sometimes, even the problems. Why is that? Why does James put it best, count it all joy when we encounter trials? Because it grows our faith. Grace is the basis for our holiness. 2 Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So again, Paul is such a name. Anybody named Paul in here? No, we don't have no Pauls in here. We got Johns and no Pauls. I think that was like a... I think if you name your kid Paul, better while, you get some high expectations, man. In these verses, Paul gives a brief summary of the good news. God loves you and I, and he chose us, and he sent Christ to die for us so we can have eternal life through faith in him because of his grace. And because of that, he broke the power of death with his resurrection. We do not deserve God's grace, but God offers us salvation anyway. What we must do is believe in him and accept his offer. So here it is. You and I, we were set apart for God, by God, when you accepted Christ as your Lord. You were made righteous, meaning you were made right with God, not by works, but by faith. You are righteous. You were made right with God when you said, yes, Lord. Grace is a basis for our strength for living. I mean, if you had to live every single day without God's grace, I don't think I could do it. Meaning that if I lived every day getting what I deserve, I don't want to even think about it. Think about it. If you lived every day getting exactly what you deserve, would you be happy? Or would you be like just a puddle of mush on the ground? It's like, I can't take it no more. 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How can someone be strong in grace? Grace is God's undeserved favor on our behalf. Just as we are saved by grace, we should live by it. This means, okay, trusting completely in Christ and his power, and not trying to live for Christ on our own strength alone. Sometimes we accept Christ by faith, and then we slip back into trying to live life on our own strength and not depending on God for strength. Because God will give you the strength you need to do his work. He gives me the strength. He gives me the courage to come up here and stand before you, sweat and all, because everybody's looking, to say some words that he has put on my heart. He is the strength for my living. Grace is the basis for our way of speech. How many of you is graceful with your speech? Or are you dropping F-bombs all over the place? Or calling people the Old Testament, the New King James Version of donkey. Those of you who know King James Version of donkey, you know what I'm, you laugh, you know what it is. Grace is the basis for our speech. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So when we share Jesus Christ with others, are we graceful? Or are we like pulling them by the ears? You better accept Jesus Christ. Turn or burn. You want to fry in hell? Or are we graceful? You know, this is what Jesus did for me, and this is what he can do for you. Is your speech seasoned with salt? Man, you can imagine that nice, juicy prime rib seasoned perfectly with salt. That's so good. Is your speech like that? Because if you put too much salt, oh, no can. You ever eat something with too much salt? Oh, I had a couple, like last month, I made a bowl of chili. It was like beautiful. Tasted, oh, I needed salt. I went like that, and the cover fell off. And was Hawaiian salt. I took out as much as I could. Oh, but the rest was torture to eat. But I never like waste. You see why? I think after that my blood pressure went spike. Let your grace do a seasoned with salt. When we tell others about Jesus, are we graceful? Or are we rough? Are we not courteous? Or are we kind and courteous? Are we respectful? Our way of speech, not only when we're sharing Jesus, but when we greet people in the marketplace, is it seasoned with salt? When you're talking to your parents, your siblings, your children, I know talking to our children, we can be rough. We can be mean. I told you 15 times, clean your room. What part about that don't you understand? Right? Grace is the basis for our serving. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift. You notice how I said, as each one Okay, as each one. You might want to underline each one. Because it doesn't say as certain people, but as each one. You know that each one of you is part of each one. And what part of each one don't you understand? Do I need to explain it further? Because each one means me, it means you, each one has received a special gift. Like Joe and his wife, they have the special gift of singing. I think when God was passing out the gift of singing, I must have been out absent someplace. I love to sing, but for the sake of my love for you, I turn off my mic when we're singing. And I know I left it on a couple times, and I know nobody wanted to tell me that my mic was on. Only my daughter had the courage to come up to me and said, Dad, your mic is on. Ooh. As each one have received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So our abilities should be faithfully used in serving others. Okay, none are for our own exclusive enjoyments, meaning our gift is not just to serve ourselves, but to serve others. Some people are well aware of their abilities and believe that they have their right to please themselves. Others feel that they have no special abilities or talents. That's not true, unless you're calling the Bible a liar when it says each one. Peter's addressing both groups, and he says, everyone has some special gifts. Find yours and use them. And don't tell me that your gift is eating, okay? That's my gift. I like to hang out. See, me and James, we get along good because James' gift is cooking. Mine is eating, so we get along really good. He cook and I taste. Perfect. Find those friends. They're valuable. How many of you get the gift of listening? Nobody. Yeah. Grace is the basis for our response to difficulty and suffering. Whew, that is, you know. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to ask, have you ever been suffering and hurting and you have been on the receiving end of grace? Yeah, I mean, I was suffering and I was hurting. I was down. I was out. I was at the end of my rope. I was ready to just like, hey, this is enough already with life. And I was the receiving end of grace from my wife. And that's why I get to be here. I mean, if you ever been suffering and hurting and in need, and somebody extended grace to you, that's like water in the desert. It's like the lifeline when you're drowning. That's what it's like. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. Now think about this. If you have been struggling and you was on the receiving end of grace and how it felt, think about how you can extend that grace to people around you. Because there are a lot of people out there suffering and hurting. And that grace, that extending that hand of grace could be as simple as, hey, my friend, would you like to come and join us at church? Hey, my friend, can I pray for you? Hey, my friend, can I just sit down and listen to you? And you can just pour out your heart and I will listen to you. Not listening while you're on your phone texting now. Listening, turn off your phone and looking at that person in the eye. I find myself listening sometimes on my phone. Bad. The gospel is all about God's grace to Jesus Christ. That's why Paul calls it the gospel of grace. the word of grace. The gospel of the grace of God is a message that everyone needs, every single person. The word of grace is proclaimed from every page in the Bible and revealed in Jesus Christ. The last verse of the Bible summarizes the message from Genesis to Revelation. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Through Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. The gratuitous, undomesticated grace of God. And this is, I want to close with this. May the grace of God be with you and be in you. Amen. We're going to, together as a family, we're going to take communion. Would you welcome Pastor Aaron? Yeah. How's it? We on time? We're not good. Bad.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Yeah. So like Pastor Scott said, we have this opportunity now as a family called New Hope East Hawaii that we get to take communion together. So the ushers, go ahead, are going to start passing you out a piece of bread and a cup of juice. So when you get that, please hang on to that. As soon as everybody has theirs, we'll take communion together. Okay? Now, I love that story that Pastor Scott said about the priests going into the Holy of Holies wearing bells. And as a pastor, I've always thought about that. You know, if I had to go, if we were in those days and I had to go do that. What he didn't tell you is that because so many priests would do things wrong, and then because it is the Holy of Holies, God would smite them down right there. What they also had to do was tie a rope around their waist. And the priest would go in and he'd have to wear that rope the whole time, because if God did smite them down, then they'd have to pull them out because nobody else could go in there. If they did, they would be killed too. And I always thought, well, what if that was me? You know what would happen? Guarantee I would do something wrong. Guarantee you would be pulling me out, and guarantee I would be all dilapidated. So I thank God for the grace that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, that we no longer have to do that. That's how much God loved us. And you know what? That's what communion is all about. That Jesus asked us to remember how good he is and how much he loves us. That he is the one, because of his sacrifice for us, because of his grace, he is the one that we no longer have to do those things. That he loved us so much, he couldn't imagine spending eternity without us. So he went and he laid down his life for us. You know, Pastor Scott said something really, really profound last week, and I hope that you got it. And it went something like this, that grace is something that doesn't cost us anything for people who don't deserve anything. I thought that was so deep. And that wraps up what communion is all about, that we would remember the goodness of God in that. Amen? So this morning, as we are taking communion together, because Jesus did ask us to do this often in remembrance of him, I just want to ask you, don't forget. Don't ever forget, no matter what you're going through during the week, no matter what this world throws upon you, don't ever forget that God loves you. He loves you so much that he would give up his son to die upon a cross and to shed his blood as the ransom for our sins, so that we could indeed not have to worry about the little things in this life and that this world can throw at us. We wouldn't have to worry about those things, that we would get indeed to spend eternity with him. Amen? It was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he said that he broke some bread, sitting with his disciples, and he passed it all out. And he said, "This is my body that was broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Let's take of the bread together. And then it says, in the same manner, Jesus took the cup. said, this is my blood poured out for you as a ransom for your sins. And you know what he was really saying? He was saying, nobody loves you like I do. For the sake of the cup. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the grace that you wrapped up in Jesus Christ, that he would come and love us so much that he would lay his life down for us. Now, Lord, as your people that you love, please allow us to never forget that. That we would always remember how good you are and how much you love us. Father, this I pray, because we remember that your will be done in our lives, that you would continue to do your thing and allow us to be obedient to do our part. Father, we thank you and praise you, and Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So would you stand and go ahead and pass your cups to the end of the row, and then the ushers will pick them up from over there. And we are going to take out this service and by singing one last song unto the Lord. You good with that? Yeah. Right on. So let's sing.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.